Run for cover. This is Radioactive Sports with superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
I'll take pride in my hair.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports in the afternoon on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Cool Whip. 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 Cool Whip.
Ricky felt a little bit of a spike in his elbow yesterday on a particular pitch in his last inning of work. He pitched to a couple more hitters, and when he came in, he said that he had a little soreness in his elbow, and he felt it on one pitch in particular. So we thought the prudent thing was to get him back to Minneapolis today to go see our doctors, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. Here we go again. Here we go again. Oh, wait, is that another T-Wolf injury? So let's handle one thing at a time. So the Twins have got one injured and heading back home to check out an elbow. But it's not a big deal, right? It's never a big deal when it's an elbow. Just a baseball player. No, wait. Oh, wait. Whoa. It's a pitcher, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that would make a big difference.
Yeah.
Is he? But he's probably just one of the bullpen.
Yeah.
No, he's a rotation, right?
Just accidentally paid him, you know, almost $50 million last year. Bit of a wrist problem
Could be worse.
Bit of a limp wrist problem last year. Now he's got a bit of an elbow problem.
Mm. Well, I'm sure he's going to miss some time.
You know
he's going to because he plays here in Minnesota.
Only allowed 6 hits, 6 earned runs, 4 walks, 2 strikeouts.
We're going to miss him.
Yeah.
We're going to have him back in the lineup right away so we can give up 6 hits and 6 innings.
Yeah, because otherwise we're going to give up 12 hits and 12 runs in 2 innings.
How much money do we pay him each, like, say, just yearly?
Lots.
We're talking about 12, 13.
Yeah.
What's it work out to for Santana? About 12, 13.
4 years, $55 million.
Yeah,
so you do the math. Ricky Nolasco, 4 years, I want to say $48 million.
Okay, but, okay. Well, so he's making a good living, too.
40 or 49, but yeah.
But the good side of all of this is that we won't have to pay Irvin Santana for 80 games. So that's good.
So we'll save a little bit of money
money.
We'll lose all 80 games in the process, which is a little bit upsetting. Mother Nature, though, must love and just take pity on the Minnesota Twins because... they were supposed to start at noon today. They didn't start at noon. Too rainy, too cold, disgusting in Detroit, as it always is anyways.
Very dreary.
Oh, well.
I hang out there sometimes.
In Detroit? I know you do.
Well, Dearborn.
Surprised you don't get murdered. And chopped up into little pieces and made into some dude's stroganoff.
Little pieces. Yeah.
The superstar stroganoff. You should start a new business.
I could literally lose a limb or two, open up a business, make some good money, and... buy some new parts.
Yeah, perfect. You following the Masters at all, Tiger Woods?
Yep.
First round, 2015 Masters, been a little up and down. He opened with a bogey, then made a birdie on the second, followed by a par, bogey, and then a par. He's dropping clubs.
So?
He's having a couple of good hits, a couple of good holes, and then he gets frustrated. I say par on the sixth after missing his tee shot wide right, keeping him at one over. Not sure anyone expected much more from a guy who hasn't played competitively in a long time, but...
I'm not surprised.
He hasn't walked off yet. He hasn't embarrassed himself yet.
He hasn't
yet.
Walked off yet. That's good. Normally he's held till the end of the show, but you're childish, and so you're going to start now, apparently. This just in, too, by the way.
Oh, God.
Hold on. I think I just noticed it. A couple guys have got a no-hitter going right now.
Uh-oh.
Find out where that is.
Who is it?
We'll find it.
The guy we talked about yesterday, we didn't know how to say his name, who was number one in the power rankings, according to Bleacher Report.
Yeah, Jordan's about 7 under.
Jordan Spieth. 7
it's
under.
Spieth?
I don't know. That's what we're going to say. Ernie Els.
Say
look at
right.
That guy. 6 under. He's at second place. Charlie Hoffman, Justin Rose, Russell Henley, Bill Haas, Paul Casey, Webb Simpson, Ryan Palmer, Kevin Streelman. Never heard of most of these guys. Phil Mickelson, tied for 10th at 2 under. Sergio Garcia,
good.
My guy. 2 under, tied at 10th. Love Sergio Garcia. You know what I mean? Bubba Watson, my other guy, tied for 17th. He's 1 under. Roy McIlroy, also 1 under. Patrick Harrington, 1 under.
Patrick Harrington. Isn't he the one that blew the...
I think you're right.
He blew it big on the on the British Open once, didn't he?
Lee Westwood tied for 42nd. He's one over. God, where is that? Where is my guy? Jim Furyk won over. Scrolling down. Rookie Fowler won over.
I can't stand him.
Brent Snedeker, two over.
Ricky Fowler.
Vijay Singh, three over. Fred Couples, three over. Where is my guy? Tiger Woods, where are ye? Ben Crane, seven over. Tiger Woods isn't in the top 100 right now? No, come on.
Wait.
Did I scroll over him? Where
you
is he?
Did. Of where course you did. He? He's not. He hasn't done that yet.
Tiger.
Let's see here. I'm still trying to find this damn story in Major League Baseball. Oh,
Tiger Woods tied for 42nd.
Tied for 42nd? So what's it? How much?
He's one over.
That's not bad.
He's through 10,
by
the way.
There's only one problem to it. He's eight back already.
Yeah.
From Spieth.
Through 10, but come on. Still has a bunch more to go.
Yeah.
For the first day. It'll be fine. He'll be fine.
Spieth is on fire, man. He's been on fire for a while. He really has. He tied for second last year. At the Masters.
Ernie Els. He's in second place right now at 6 under. Go, Ernie.
Do you know for sure whether or not it's Ernie Els or not? Because it could be Brad Johnson.
Really?
No.
Are they the same person?
They are the same person.
They look alike? Radio roulette!
Never mind. What happened? They fall off?
Yeah.
We had a guy in charge of PR over at the Vikings, Brad Madsen.
Oh, my God. Ernie Els looks just like Brad Johnson.
Just like him. So Brad Madsen sends out Christmas cards every year for the Vikings to all the former players, and he took a picture with Brad Johnson standing next to Ernie Els down in Tampa because he found Ernie Els down there at the stadium in Tampa Bay when we were playing down there. And they took a picture. He handed those things out at Christmas time. Oh, the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Radio Roulette. Hi, 105 The Ticket. Turn down your radio, please.
Yeah, just a second. Sorry. Mike, what's wrong with Ricky Fowler?
I don't like him. You know, he's a pretty boy. I just don't like all those funky clothes and his hair and that stupid hat.
He got rid of the hair.
He still wears his hat funny and stuff. I don't know. I'm weird like that. But I don't like it when he's a golfer, right. And he's got his stupid-ass hat over his ears and everything. That's weird. And he's got those stupid Puma belt buckles. Take it off.
Well, if you're young and thin, you can do all that dumb stuff.
That's a good point. If I put that same belt on, it would look like the equator.
Right on.
He looks like he's a skateboarder, for God's sakes.
He does. He bugs me.
He rides motocross.
Uh-oh.
See, that's it. I knew there was part of him that was, like, really quirky.
He's got that, I don't know, a mustache.
He has a mustache?
And a little, like, soul patch. God,
that bothers me.
Is he sponsored by Puma?
He wears pink every other day.
You couldn't tell he was sponsored by Puma. My God.
He's
covered in Puma everything. Puma
so different,
belt,
though. Well, the Tiger Puma wears shirt. Nike.
Puma hat, Puma pants, and then that weird mustache. I can tell why you hate him.
Got a Puma mustache. Like a D-bag.
And it's working. You're talking about Puma on the radio right now.
It's starting to work. See? He did exactly what he was supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know what?
I love Puma.
I love Puma. I'm wearing Pumas right now, by the way. I love you too, by the way. I don't want you to go away without me telling you I love you. And I love you playing radio roulette as well. Are you still there?
No, he left.
Damn it, he didn't even hear me?
No, he didn't hear you.
Then what good is this, anyway?
I'm surprised Ricky Fowler doesn't have a Puma tattoo on his face the way that he just has Puma everything.
He should shave the mustache into the Puma swoosh instead of just a regular mustache.
What a weird dude.
Yeah, I can't stand it.
Just a weird-looking dude.
He's a sissy, kind of.
He looks like he's Easter every single time with the Easter clothes on.
The pastels on. Puma pastels.
I like when he wears a purple, though.
By Ricky Fowler. He wears a lot of pink. He does. He looks like an Easter egg with a mustache.
He does.
Little bastard. He's got a great swing.
Ricky Fowler.
Oh, well.
Tied for 42nd, one over,
good
by the way.
Oh, so he's tied with Tiger.
Yep, Tiger Woods. And Jim Furyk.
Cleveland's Trevor Bauer and Kyle Crockett and Scott Atkinson have a no-hitter on the Astros through 8 innings. Those three pitchers have combined for a no-hitter thus far for 8 innings.
Wonder what happened for Cleveland to take out their pitcher.
After 6 no-hit innings?
Yeah.
That's kind of a puss thing to do.
Yeah. What a wiener.
What a wiener for pulling the guy out. Let him stay in there until he gets someone to knock one off of him.
Maybe his arm fell off.
How about these three guys? They must be on some kind of pitch count or something. They've got a no-hitter going, those three. God. So Trevor Bauer must have taken the first six innings. Then Kyle Crockett, then Scott Atkinson. They got a no-hitter working through eight.
Bauer, just 24, started the game, had some kind of pitching line. Struck out 11, walked 5 in 6 scoreless innings, throwing 111 total pitches. That's why he's out.
They took him out!
65 of the 111 were strikes. Bauer did not come back out for the 7th inning, which is understandable given his pitch count,
that's
obviously.
Messed up.
Cleveland manager Terry Francona turned the game over to Crockett. He's 23 years old. He's a left-hander. He walked a batter in the 7th, but has not allowed a hit. He threw 20 pitches, struck out a pair. Then Atchison took over in the 8th, walked a batter in his first hitless frame. The 39-year-old struck out 1 and threw 18 pitches. Been a long time since the Indians last threw a no-hitter. It was Len Barker back in 1981. The Astros were no-hit back in June 13, 2012. That was Matt Cain's perfect game.
Well, I this isn't a no-hitter for me. Yes, I don't care. It's just not. No.
It is a no-hitter.
You got to have Bauer in all 9 innings.
It's a no-hitter. If they don't have any hits, that means there are no hits.
It's not anything to celebrate about.
Speaking of baseball, we have a huge giveaway coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. I want you to listen because we have one of the final...
I refuse to listen.
No, shut up. We have one of the last final pairs of Twins home opener tickets for Monday.
Ah.
It's supposed to be beautiful. This weekend... Mother Nature and God have gotten together. They love us to death, and it should be sunshine and 67 for Monday's game. We have 2 tickets to give you. Listen in the 5 o'clock hour. We'd love to hand them to you.
It's a noon game?
I want to say the home opener is at 3.
Why can't these damn Twins do anything my way and have a noon, season opener so I can get there?
Yeah, no, you can.
No, I'd have to take work off.
Yep. 3:10 home opener. You can get there for maybe the first pitch, but then you have to come back. I need you.
Well,
I need you.
I can't do it then. Yeah.
Then.
But I'm going to the first 12 o'clocker.
That would be Thursday.
I'm going.
Thursday.
I'll be there.
And then shortly thereafter.
1 week from today.
2 weeks from tomorrow. Or no, excuse me. 1 week from tomorrow. That's when we debut The Office.
Oh, we're down there.
We're down at The Office on Washington next to J.D. Hoyts and Deja Vu.
We're down there.
We'll be down there from 4 to 7 on Friday the 17th. The Minnesota Twins host the Cleveland Indians. Can we say Indians? I know we don't say the Washington Racists. Do we say Indians?
It's whatever you want to do, Ben. It's radio. You have an opinion. You can say whatever you want to and handle it the way you want to. I'm going to go ahead and, I guess, I played in Cleveland. And I played in Washington, too.
Mm-hmm.
Both, I'm telling you right now, they both are... storied franchises, if you go back far enough for Cleveland. I mean, it was, they love everything in Cleveland sports-wise, but they just have bad teams. They used to invite us out, the Cleveland Browns, to watch the Cleveland Indians. And you had to follow the feather. That's what you did. So I'm just going to say the Cleveland Feathers.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah, perfect.
Follow the feather.
I don't want to.
Well, the feather's kicking ass right now, I'll tell you that much. They're one inning away from shutting out the Astros.
Do you realize the kind of program we have for today?
I'm looking at all kinds of stuff. I can't believe it here.
Isn't it great?
It's the best ever.
I put together
this is good.
Dubinator Iron Man montage that we'll play coming up next.
You work hard with those. You people have to hear this now. I'm not kidding.
Fantastic.
And you can play a little radio roulette with us anytime you want to at 651-989-9105. 651-989-9105. If you want to call and have your input on the Dubinator. What is it? A chant or is it a what is it?
It's Iron Man. It's set to Iron Man, but it's a montage. It's
a little montage.
Great. It might bring a tear to your eye. It's one of those things. Very emotional.
Oh,
of course, Devin Dubnyk finally getting a night off tonight. Darcy Kemper starting in goal.
Oh.
Minnesota Wild in Nashville taking on the Predators. Dubinator probably starting the season finale Saturday in St. Louis. We'll talk about the Vikings top 30. They had the top 30 event where they brought in their top 30. Interested possible college draftees.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that. We'll talk to Dane Brugler, our senior NFL draft analyst from CBS Sports. Latest mock draft has Trey Waynes going, I want to say, number 9 to the New York Giants.
Yeah.
And then the Minnesota Vikings stuck with Devontae Parker at number 11. I think the Minnesota Vikings would trade back if that was the case.
I do, too.
Jim Rich talking Minnesota Wild at 5:14. Knows everything about the Wild.
They got Memphis, the Memphis Predators,
No. Hardball Mike Berardino. Let's hope we can talk to him. I don't know, the Twins game probably starting at some point this afternoon. Twins home opener ticket giveaway after that.
What?
Sam Ekstrom on to talk about Flip Saunders. He's scared of 3-point shots. It drives me insane. He said yesterday, I think it was yesterday or the day before, he's terrified of 3-point shots. We'll talk to Sam Ekstrom from Cold Omaha. He doesn't want Andrew Wiggins. He doesn't want three-pointers to become a big part of Andrew Wiggins' game, and I find that absolutely ludicrous. We'll check in with the Masters at 6 o'clock hour, a bunch of Mike's breaks, so God knows what that's going to be.
You don't know for sure.
Then we'll
it could be your condition, could be my condition health-wise. Today you've got an issue or two.
I do.
You had some barbecue, and there could be some issues before the end of the show.
Barbecue butt. Why does it smell so good going in, but not so great coming out?
I noticed that. I didn't really notice going in. I didn't even have a chance to have a rib or two. You ate them all, but I can definitely smell the repercussions. Let's take a little break. Come back. It's the Dubnyk vignette next.
The NASCAR.
He showed poise in the net, and obviously his size. You know, they had the first scoring chance of the game. He made a good save, and that was big. Obviously, if they score there, then we start to press a little bit, and probably changes the, you know, just the appearance of the whole game. But, you know, I like the way he was playing pucks, too, behind the net. Came out, stopped a couple plays, and relieved the pressure in a few situations. So, definitely a good start.
That was probably one of the most complete games that I've been a part of, start to finish. It was fun to be a part of that, and nice to have the guys come out and work that hard for me.
Ahead by Schultz. Schultz is in! Sprawling save by Dubnyk!
Nobody helps him. Now he has his revenge.
Final seconds. Cody fires. Walked and Bufflin has it crossed by Marine. Hello! Win in Calgary!
Little for Bufflin. Bufflin watched by Koivu. A shot deflected. Ladd on the backhand. Didn't get much of it. Little and a sprawling save by Dubnyk.
Exciting. You know, it's obviously we've talked lots about the way the guys have played for me, and you know, to get the personal recognition is obviously you know, it feels good, and nice to have a couple days between games where you can kind of sit back and enjoy it, and we'll enjoy it for today and forget about it tomorrow and be right back at it.
Yeah, I'll be ready to play tomorrow. Plan on playing every game from here on out, and if they tell me otherwise, then that's great, and if not, I'll be ready to play. So that's not up to me, and I'll just be ready when I get the call. I'm really enjoying this. It's fun to be a part of you know, where these games matter, and you know, you can watch the games and care about the results because they matter. It's a fun thing to do, and it's good to take a rest, but pretty rare. You know, it's a good chance for us to use it and get ready for a strong push.
We've been in the playoffs for a long time. It's been playoffs for us, so I'm excited to have the opportunity to get in the real thing. You know, it's been kind of two peaks, one valley and one peak, and whatever needed to happen to, you know, to set me up to be in a situation like this with this group of guys and to be able to play in a city like this is it was worth it. It feels really good, and the way the city and the fans have embraced me has been really special to me.
The Dubinator is he is a story. He is a story within himself. You can talk about the Wild all you want. You can talk about how they've made this big comeback and everything else, but it all starts with Devin Dubnyk. And I have yet to see an athlete come to town and make the impact that he has in any other sport that I've been a part of in this town anyway, or anywhere else that I've ever heard of. I've never heard of it.
Except?
Not even Brett Favre.
What?
No?
What do you mean not even Brett Favre?
Because he didn't have the same situation that this guy walked into.
Brett Favre was 40 years old. Everybody thought he was done.
He started from scratch.
He had the best year of his Hall of Fame NFL career with the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, I know. I agree, but that's who he was anyway.
He wasn't the year before with the New York Jets.
Well, he didn't even want to be there. He tried to get here first before he went to the Jets.
All he wanted to do was send Jen Sturger some pictures of his Crocs and his...
Crocs and his...
His other thing that rhymes with Crocs, but check out the R.
Yeah, yeah.
Singular
that, too. He's nasty.
Got a question for
you. Dubnyk is a one-in-a-million kind of guy. He is from nothingness. We heard Tom Fersky talk about... Flash in the pan. sitting on the bench over in Phoenix.
In Edmonton, the AHL.
I mean, Favre at least got to come in and know his teammates, figure things out, go through a training camp. No, wait, no, he missed training camp that year, didn't he?
Yeah.
But he already knew the offense. It was his offense. But this season was half in the bag. Dubinator gets here at the All-Star break.
Half in the bag? It was completely in the bag. There were 12th place.
Well,
in
half
Western
the season
Conference.
Was done. Let's put it that way. And he had a half to go.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Got it. Somebody wants to ask you a question, and I think
make it good.
You should deal with this one. Mark from Lake Elmo, you're on 105
This better be
the
good.
Ticket.
Hey, Mark, right? Mark?
Mark, you're on 105 the ticket.
Hey, listen, Mark. Is this a good question, or are you going to make it interesting or at least slightly amusing?
I hope it's interesting. I'm a big Wild fan, and if it's not, I guess I'll get my ass cooled, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. Cooled with a folding chair, young man. Now, you can go ahead and... Have you been cooled with a chair?
Here's my... I have been.
Okay, good. Well,
that's
fine, then. Let's just talk.
My question's on the... And for both of you guys, but if Ben says defer to the superstar,
it's my question.
It's on the power play. You know, the Wild will like change their lineup. Yo, we'll switch lines around. But Brunette, who coaches the power play, never changes that first line, and yet we languish as like the 28th or 29th worst power play in the league. What's going on? What do you think?
I we talk with Jim Rich about this kind of stuff all the time about the power play. It has been an eyesore for the Minnesota Wild the entire season, to the point where when they're asked about it in the locker room, they just tell the reporters they don't want to talk about it anymore because a lot of people just think it's in their head. Now, I don't know if there's any merit to that, but I do know that if you make something big out of something that should be, you know, commonplace, that if you start making it a mountain out of a molehill, it can create that beast that they have now where they can't do anything with a power play. And I have no better explanation than that. He probably should be scrambling the lineup a little bit. Since it doesn't work, he should change it. But my knowledge of hockey and how you would drum that up, I'm not really sure how that would be or who to insert or who to take out. But I do know that if it doesn't work, any sport, you need to change it.
Obviously, yeah. Mark, let me ask you a question. You seem like a big Wild fan. When the Wild, and I can't remember, it was a couple of games ago, maybe a little over a week ago, they had a 5-on-3.
Yep.
I don't even know if we had a shot on goal during that power play. 5-on-3 advantage.
Yeah, we had it for like a minute and we couldn't even get a shot.
Yeah. Mm. So you tell me why the power play for the Minnesota Wild didn't even take a shot on a guy. And I want to say that it might have been us too in a different game, but one of the three didn't even have a stick. And we didn't get a shot off.
Yeah. I'll tell you a couple things. One, I think you've got a great neutral zone and defensive zone defenseman in Ryan Suter, but I don't think he should be on the power play. You got Spurgeon, Scandella, and Dumba that all have cannons. Put them out there. Maybe that's a start.
Sure, Mark, but what about having Ryan Suter? Because he plays the point pretty well in the power play, and so you just get it back. But I get what you're saying, because somebody that plays the point should have a massive heavy shot like a Matt Dumba, but do you trust Dumba out there with all the mistakes? I mean, he's made some aggressive mistakes. He's still a rookie. I just don't know that the Wild feel comfortable with him out there on the point.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess that's a good question. I guess my other comment would be, it seems like whatever magic Jason Pominville had, he's lost, and maybe he should be spending time on the third line and playing a checking game to get his offense back too, because I'm just not seeing him deliver on the offense lately either.
It's so interesting, Mark, from Lake Elmo. Thanks for calling, my man. But what you brought up, superstar, where the power play may be too much in their heads and they're talking about it too much. There was some innuendo going on where Parisi kind of alluded to the fact that they may not practice the power play enough. And Mike Yeo came back and said, I don't know where that's coming from, because it seems like we're putting a lot of emphasis on
the
power
play. Which player said that?
Parisi.
Wow,
he didn't
people.
Say it. He alluded to, he basically was alluding to it. You read through the lines and basically him saying that we don't, you know, the Wild don't practice the power play enough. But then you go and say that it's, and we've heard this from many people, Jim Rich and Tom Reed, the Wild have it in their head, a lot of things in their head that they can't get out, and then they suffer from it being in their head because they're overthinking or they're doing this or they're doing that. Why not get it out of your head and just take shots? The first thing you have to do if you want to score a goal in the NHL, and this might be...
I think I know what you're going to say. I
hate to go out here on a limb, but you have to shoot the puck.
As elementary as it is, to go out there and actually be able to do something on a power play because you got the other team outnumbered. The most elementary fundamental of that is to take a shot.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Take a shot. I don't know. I don't know the X's and O's that much of hockey to be able to know what the personnel changes should be and how you should mix it. And of all coaches not to, like Mike Yeo doesn't mix up something. Since when?
That's all he's doing is mixing up stuff.
But he doesn't mix up the power play.
Well, Brunette's in charge of the power play. Coach Yeo is still the coach. So, I mean, even you go back to the Vikings and Zimmer, if you want something different on the offense or the defense.
Of course.
Just go tell North Turner.
You have the
George Edwards.
Coach has the say. What are you doing about that power play?
No.
I don't get it. I just don't get it.
That's why.
I know they're in the playoffs.
That's why I have a hard time with Coach Mike Yeo. Just have a hard time.
Well, he's putting trust in his own coaches. He's letting his coaches coach.
And I get the fact that that's fantastic and he trusts his coaches, but at the same time, I have faith in you. But if you're doing something jackassery that I don't necessarily, not that I don't approve of, or it's wrecking something that we're doing, I'm going to say, Mike, what can we change? Can we do something here?
Has that been coming up from time to time? You just haven't said it yet?
All the time. No, I would say something to you. I mean, that's what you do in a working environment. If you want to win and you want to do things to a great level.
I totally agree.
You have to collaborate and you have to do things the way that leaders do. You have to lead by example and you have to delegate and you have to do things, but you still have to keep your fingers on it.
You got to collaborate and listen. Stars back with a brand new invention. Something grabs a hold of me tightly, flows like a harpoon daily and nightly. Will it ever stop? Yo, I don't know. Yo, I don't know. Turn out the lights and I glow. To the extreme, I rock a mic like a vandal. Light up a stage and wax a chump like a candle. Dance. So anyway, I don't know what's going on. We better just do 4.5 questions. I'm delusional right now. I'm losing my damn mind.
I have meat sweats. It's not good. Too much barbecue for lunch. I overdid a little bit.
Run down to the potty chair.
Okay.
Take a break. Come right back. Hopefully he's back. 4.5 questions.
The NFL. This is historic. The NFL has hired its first full-time female referee. It should work out great, because if there are two things NFL players respect, it's authority and women.
Conan O'Brien. Conan to me, I don't care. You call him Conan all you want, but that's Conan to me.
Conan. Conan the Barbarian. He's the guy that you like watching that movie because he does the boob dance like you can do.
Correct.
And you, for some reason, I don't understand why, you like looking at muscular men. I don't get it.
Look, it's just something I've always enjoyed doing.
Weird.
How was the trip down to the potty?
I'm still there. I'm broadcasting live from the urination station.
Let us know how that goes.
So far, so good.
Picking you up really well.
Can you hear me there okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
All right.
Check, check.
Question one, 4.5 questions today. Every day at 4:30, the NFL obviously announced Sarah Thomas has been hired as their first full-time referee. She's a woman, by the way. We've seen women refs in the NBA. It's happened before in baseball, but not very common in baseball. And I could be wrong, but I don't think I've ever seen a female referee in the NHL. Why aren't females more common when it comes to being a ref in a major professional sport? And do you compare Sarah Thomas to the likes of groundbreaking athletes like Jackie Robinson, Tiger Woods, and the like?
No, I don't see that. But I do.
It's groundbreaking.
It kind of is.
Compared to Barack Obama, the first African American president. I mean, this is a big deal. This is a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah, not that big. I don't think it's that big. I think that she's to be commended for wanting to be out there, I suppose, because it is a dangerous thing, obviously. But depends on where they put her, what her position is. If she knows as much as another man does, and I'm quite sure she does, I'm quite sure that she's capable of knowing the rules and being able to see what she sees, and to call, you know, that instant call that you have to have, flag out and know what you're going to say, because you have to be great. It's split second reaction is what it is, and I can't believe how often they're right. And if she's got that, then she's got it. That's good enough for me. But I mean, just stay out of the way, because it is they get destroyed out there sometimes. But I've run over a couple of them.
I'm surprised there isn't a more female referees or umpires, because as you know, in relationships, they see everything. There's nothing you can get by a woman.
Smart. I think they're sharp. The eye for the detail and the split second reaction that I'm talking about. I think that is made for a woman.
Why don't we see more of them, especially in Major League Baseball?
I mean, we're
starting to see females be on coaching staffs in the NBA. Not, I mean, let alone referees. There are referees in the NBA as well.
Yeah.
NHL, it's just a...
CP3 had a little problem with one this year.
Yeah.
But he's a jackass for saying what he said.
It happens. But yeah, I mean, you don't see... The NBA seems to be taking, you know, the lead with women and putting them in positions of authority when it comes to the game. Game day experience, coaches, referees, this and that.
I'm all for it. I mean, if they can see it, and they clearly can see it the way any man could, and if they know the rules inside and out, like any official who has or has not played the game of football, there are really, really great officials that never played the game of football that know it inside and out. If she's got the knowledge, put her out there.
What's the only thing, basically, that a man is better than a woman at?
Like
strength, right?
Well, strength, yes. I mean, I would fear for a woman being out in the middle of a football field. You have to be afraid when you're a dude out there. It is nasty. It is. I just want to see something. Now, they run over cheerleaders on the sidelines, so why not put them in the game, I guess?
Yeah.
Because they run through the bench and they run through women all the time. You see it all the time, but it's, you know, I wish her well, you know, because it's physical. It's really a physical game. I think for NBA officials to run up and down the court with them, you got to be in shape to do that. In football, too, those officials are in good shape. They really are in good shape.
And then in baseball, they're just fat as
they're just ridiculous. But I can't see a woman going as a baseball, like an umpire.
Why not?
And having a man, the manager, the skipper, come out and yell in her face, like, ooh, he was really too hard on her, wasn't he? I mean, he went right after her.
Well, and that's then have that just sexist broadcaster saying that on the TV or the radio.
You know you'll get that, though.
Well, then those people should be fired. Because
they should be killed.
No.
Take them out back behind the barn and put a bullet in them.
Yeah. What just else? Watch what you say. Question two.
Yeah.
Peter King, Sports Illustrated, he said that although the Cowboys and Cardinals remain the likely two destinations for Adrian Peterson, if he's indeed traded by the Vikings, those two teams will not give up a high draft pick or a package of draft picks that the Vikings seem to want in exchange for the future Hall of Famer. King said his dark horse would be the Jacksonville Jaguars. Let's have a little bit of fun here.
That could be the funniest thing ever.
I know. I know. That's what I'm saying.
Being second.
Yeah. We've both gone on record saying we prefer Peterson wasn't on the Vikings, but we think he will be on the Vikings come home games at TCF Bank. If the Vikings do trade Peterson, where would you like to see him go?
Cleveland.
Yeah, me too.
Or Jacksonville. That makes the Cleveland Browns pretty damn good really quick. By the way, with McCown at quarterback and Adrian Peterson with a defense like Cleveland.
But with a front office and an ownership that is absolutely schizophrenic and nutcasey. Is nutcasey even a word?
No.
That's one franchise. I mean, today they were saying that they want to trade both first-round draft picks and trade up now for Marcus Mariota. Okay. You just drafted Johnny Manziel. Trust me, I think Johnny Manziel's a complete douchebag.
Of course he is.
But trading 19 and
Chip
12
Kelly
to
wants
move
to
up.
Move, what was that? Did you hear that? Did you hear that? I heard something. I don't know what it is. Something. My microphone, I think my mic is busted. Supposedly Sam Bradford is heading toward Cleveland with some blah 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 draft choices to pick up Manziel.
Well, but that was the rumor a couple of days ago, and so Cleveland's trying to get something figured out with their quarterback situation. They want Sam Bradford, but they also are now, since the Philadelphia Eagles don't seem to be trading what they want or whatever it has, or Sam Bradford won't agree to a long contract with the Cleveland Browns, which why would he? It's a dump. Nobody wants to go to the Cleveland
Browns. I'm Sam Bradford.
Yeah.
And I'm coming back off my second ACL, and I can sign a long-term deal for the kind of money, or even close to being the kind of money that he was making, about half of it guaranteed, with his body, you better jump on it, dude. You better just take it and run. That if it's guaranteed at the millions you've made before in the past, I don't know how long he's going to make it in this game. I'd take the long-term deal, and of course you have the big guaranteed money.
Yeah, and they have a great offensive line in Cleveland, but they're absolutely... Zero.
Bradford needs to just park it somewhere and
offensive
try to play.
Weapons.
He doesn't have many choices after this, by the way.
The Wild, question three. They'll be without their top three leading scorers tonight as they try to tie an NHL record with the 12 consecutive road wins. Zach Parise, Nito Ryder, Thomas Vanek. They've scored 77 of the Wild's 221 goals. They won't play tonight. Neither will the Dubinator. Matt Cook, his missing teeth. They'll be on the ice for the first time after missing 31 games with a sports hernia surgery. Darcy Kemper getting his first start and goal since the team traded for the doobie-doobie-doo. I applaud Coach Mike Yeo's decision to rest the biggest reasons this team is back in the playoffs, despite being in 12th place back in January. But with two games to go, is Yo saying he doesn't care about winning tonight in Nashville with these lineup changes?
He's being careful not to get someone, you know, blown up, and or more importantly, some of these guys that are the most important to the team, and you've already mentioned them, Vanek included, and I never thought we'd hear that name ever as one of the most important ingredients when he started out here, but he has turned into that. He has to rest him sometime. We all thought that he was going to have to rest Dubnyk, especially Dubnyk, way earlier than this. I think it's just smart that he pulls those guys out and gets them a rest before they head into the playoffs.
So he doesn't care about winning tonight.
I don't know about that. I think he probably does care about winning.
Well, these are the Nashville Predators, one of the best teams in the Western Conference, a possible playoff matchup.
But what do you call it then when you're trying to rest the guys that need to rest for the playoffs? I think he cares about winning. He may not be able to pull it off with the personnel he's got. But I think he's asking some of those guys to step it up so he can see what's going on for them to be in the playoffs and to mix them too, especially if Dubnyk was to go down. He wants to know what Kemper's got again.
Oh, for sure. We talked about that yesterday. Kemper has to have some sort of ice time before going into the playoffs. God forbid anything happened to the Dubinator. And Matt Cook missing all those games with the sports hernia surgery. The same thing with Jason Zucker the other night. They have to have some sort of ice time so Yo knows what he has going into the playoffs.
I think it's a smart... I think he wants an A game out of Kemper. I think he expects to win tonight. If Kemper can play the way he would expect Kemper to play, the way he expected him to play last year, is that you're supposed to stop the puck. And I would think that Mike Yo would expect to win tonight.
Question four. I've asked this before. I'm going to ask you again. Why are our favorite sports teams so miserably cursed? Vikings, Adrian Peterson indictment, injuries like crazy, Wild injuries, mumps, deaths in the family, no power play, no goalie, Wolves injuries, everyone terrible at drafting. Now the Twins, Irvin Santana, PED suspension, Ricky Nolasco felt a spike in his arm, having an MRI back in the Twin Cities today while the team's in Detroit. Why does it seem like we're always the place where professional athletes go intended to hurt my feelings and make me cry? They have something against me. Personally, I have a feeling.
I will offer this up as a way of answering that question. I answer four of them a day and then one half question after this, but it's the water supply. And let me tell you, it's a lack of fluoride, and it's a lack of, I think it's iron that we're not getting. It's causing athletes to have a deficiency in minerals. That's causing injury, and it's causing GMs and people in charge to, I think, have vapor locks in their brains where they can't make a decision and draft the right guys. I don't know why we are cursed, though. I don't know. It's you know what? It's disappointing to see another season start this way for the Twins. There's a long ways to go, and they could easily be that 500 or so team that we thought they were going to be before Santana. Mm. But why do we always have to have the deck stacked against us like this, though? And you have to fight your way out of the corner from day one.
I hate it. The Vikings have hosted their top 30 eligible draft picks this week at the Winter Park. We're going to talk about them coming up, and then we're going to talk to Dane Brugler, who is the senior NFL draft analyst for CBS Sports, NFLDraftScout.com. We're also going to tweet out, he has the NFL draft guide that we're going to tweet out here just a little bit, coming up probably at 5:10. Let you know everything you need to know about the NFL draft. So going into those conversations, give me a one-word answer on a guy that came to the Vikings top 30 event. And his name, he's from Northern Iowa. He's a running back. His name is David Johnson. Any idea who he is?
I do.
Tell me what you think of Northern Iowa running back David Johnson in one word. And then after that, tell me where you think he should be drafted and if the Minnesota Vikings should take him.
Stud.
Yeah.
That's the one word.
Where do you think he's going to be taken in the draft, and should the Vikings grab him somewhere?
He'll go third or fourth round. Do we get our hands on him? I don't know. Depends on what we've got going on at the time and whether Peterson is good to go. I know the strength coach down there at UNI. And they play good football, too, I'll tell you that. That is a good brand of football down there at UNI.
What about Norfolk defensive end Lindell Trail?
From where?
That's how they say it there. Norfolk.
Norfolk.
That's not how they say it there, though.
I don't know anything about him.
I don't either.
That kid from UNI is a stud, though.
Yeah, I know
him. I know him. He's a horse, and I know his strength coach. And I'm telling you right now, he's real deal.
What about Mississippi State defensive end Preston Smith?
I'm going to write that name down since you're asking about these. I'm going to talk about that tomorrow then. I don't know him. Do you know him?
No.
Why'd you ask that damn question then?
These are some of the players that we'll talk about coming up, but we have to take a break.
Well, they're in town, huh? Those are the guys that are actually invited here as top prospects? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's interesting. I like that. Come on back then. We're going to talk the talk and walk the walk. And talk about some of these kids that are down there, Trey Waynes. We're not worried about any singling any one player out or talking about just one player, Trey Waynes. Come on back. From the-